Good evening, everyone. On behalf of all of us at the Cathedral, a warm welcome to our guests who are with us for Holy Mass this afternoon. You're always, always welcome at the Cathedral. I have a quote from President Abraham Lincoln that hangs on a wall outside my quarters in the Cathedral Rectory right next door. The President penned and delivered these words at the height of the intensity of the Civil War. And this is what he said. I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. Heard from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, and it's one of my favorite scripture passages, these two miracle healing accounts. They have over the years grown to mean a lot to me. And I also think that the President's words may have very well been placed on the lips of this woman as well. I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. 12 years. She had nowhere else to go but to the great divine physician. It is your faith that has saved you. I also have a replica of a giant painting that hangs in the called the Chapel of the Encounter. And it's in the Holy Land in the town of Magdala, the home of Saint Mary Magdalene. And it's a recently constructed retreat center and place after excavation resulted in the conclusion that this indeed was the home of Mary Magdalene. And the painting, it's huge. The painting by a Spanish artist depicts the woman's finger. It's curled. Crooked. You can tell it's a person of age. That finger that is aiming for the cloak of Christ, just to touch his cloak. She knew that by her faith. Touch. And like President Lincoln, had nowhere else to go. That moved her beyond her desperation. As well as Jairus and those, some of them, that we hear were accompanying Jesus in these two particular episodes for all the centuries since. I thought that what this woman brings us is three distinct characteristics of a Christian life. First is obedience. To obey is to be obedient, and both of those words come from the Latin root of the word obedere, which literally means not you do whatever I tell you to do, but the word is translated to listen to. It can be used at times in a little bit of a different translation, to pay attention to. This is what she did. And Mark recounts that she had heard about Jesus. She listened to what others had to say about him. By this time in his earthly ministry, his reputation had spread. So she had heard not about only one, but several. What would have been in her mind a supernatural healing. The supernatural healing that would, for herself and others, be a physical evidence of not only who Jesus was, his divine nature, but also physical evidence of yet another promise of God fulfilled. That's why, because driven by her faith, she then would have the courage. She'd have the courage to not only search him out, but to get close enough to him to touch his garment, to touch his cloak. It took tremendous courage for her to do that. Because those, as we heard, those around him wanted to protect him, if not isolate him. So it became sort of a dangerous and risk for her to get close to him. Not because of him, but because of those surrounding him. Then what would she experience? She would begin to understand that her suffering was not in vain. Those 12 years were not wasted. Because something physical now had a spiritual experience. Aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my cloak? Who has touched my clothes?" That supernatural divine power had gone out from him. Which led me to further thoughts on this particular 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time in 2021, two things in common. For both of them, it was about touch. Jairus' daughter, he took her by the hands and lifted her up. Touch, that marriage of the divine and human touch. I began to think how much all of that has changed for us over this past year. One of the changes that is very noticeable, our attitudes towards touching each other. Simple handshake, simple hug. What these two have to share with us this Sunday, they walked by faith and not by fear. After a year of being told we should not do such things, when such occasions for hugs or handshakes arise, makes us still feel a little awkward, maybe a bit guilty. But let's look to the future. We need to be careful that the necessary measures that were once in place and the habits we've developed over the past year don't do irreparable damage to our attitudes towards being close to one another. Handshake, hug, and embrace. So I began to realize that this Sunday's gospel may just have a healing effect on us. For the two miracle stories we hear, the case of the woman with the hemorrhage, in the case of the little girl, Jairus' daughter, as I mentioned, two things in common. They walked by faith, not by fear, and it was Jesus' touch that healed them. But perhaps another lesson we can learn from these two miracle stories is how limited our attitudes regarding touch could be. We know, and this is why she had tremendous courage to do what she did. We know from the book of Leviticus that the woman with the hemorrhage would have been known and labeled ritually unclean, meaning that she would have been socially and religiously isolated. No one in their right mind in that ancient world would have gotten close to her. But there was one who was willing to do so. We know the Jewish people had a reason to behave as they did, for we also learn from the book of Leviticus that God made a covenant with the Israelites. So if they live by these rules of purity, other such commandments and laws, God had made a promise. I will be with you. I will be with you always. You shall be my people. I shall be your God. Jairus, for example, as we were told by St. Mark, was a synagogue official. He would have known these rules and these commandments inside out. And he would have seen the life of his 12-year-old daughter as a sign of that covenant God has established with Israel. I'm mentioning that the woman had a hemorrhage also for 12 years. St. Mark's way of telling us that these purity laws and these commandments, as important as they were and are, could be very limiting, for they were not sufficient to save the life of Jairus' 12-year-old daughter or the woman who had been desperately ill for 12 years. Something now is happening beyond them. It was his touch that saved them, his power that went out from them, out from him, that saved them. The woman in St. Mark's Gospel was healed through her faith, and then gave that visible evidence. Indeed, the Son of God, God himself, was walking among them. So much has changed over the past 18 months. That gift to us, the power of Jesus' touch, has not changed. We come back to Mass with a little bit more of comfort and ease. Tonight, let's just be aware. As you stand up, make your way here to receive the body of Christ, the body of our Lord. I just want you to think about, once again, it's his power that is touching me, as not unlike that woman, you reach out for him. They would begin to understand that it was God alone, Christ alone, that either saved that little girl from death, cured this woman from her terrible infirmity for 12 years. I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day.